This week marks 50 years since the Stonewall Riots, the violence that followed a police raid on June 28, 1969 at the Stonewall Inn, a gay bar in New York, helped spark the modern movement for LGBTQ rights. And now, in conjunction with the anniversary, StoryCorps is asking people to record stories of LGBTQ elders. Joining us now to talk about that effort is StoryCorps founder Dave Isay. Dave, thanks for being here.
Hi, Jeremy. It's great to be here.
And we have to start with your personal connection to this because it's pretty interesting, which is that you were just a kid when Stonewall happened, but you say a conversation about it with your dad, Richard, when you were a young man in the late 80s, stopped you in your tracks. What happened?
Well, it is a story.
Yeah.
So 30 years, a little bit more than 30 years ago, my dad, who was a psychiatrist, came out to me. I was 22 and he was 52. And it took me completely by surprise. He was already an activist for LGBTQ rights, but it actually hadn't occurred to me that he was gay. You know, it's denial. He came out, and you know, that was, we were a very tight knit family, and it took me completely by surprise. And he told me in, you know, one of our strained conversations about Stonewall. And I had just started, you know, I was in, made radio documentaries for many, many, many years before starting StoryCorps. And he told me about, he mentioned Stonewall, that there had been this rebellion at this bar. And it was kind of an amazing story. And I decided to pick up my tape recorder and find out what had happened. And in that way, kind of reconnect with my dad, and did this documentary 30 years ago. That was the first, I think the first national documentary with the voices of the people who had been at the riots. And I met some of the most amazing, courageous people I'd ever met in my life, and dedicated that documentary to my dad. He ended up becoming a well-known fighter for LGBTQ rights, and he died on the anniversary of Stonewall
years
ago.
Yeah, he died in 2012 on the Stonewall anniversary.
That's right.
What do you think that he would say, first of all, about how far LGBTQ rights have come since Stonewall?
Well, he was – so he married his partner of 25 years shortly after marriage equality, the SCOTUS ruling on marriage equality. And, you know, I think he would have been thrilled to see how things have continued to progress. And he also would have said that there's a lot more work to do, both in the U.S. and especially around the world.
Is there anything you wish you had had the chance to ask him about before he passed away on this,
you know,
issue?
One of the things about StoryCorps and these interviews, when you sit for 40 minutes with a loved one, is that it's really about no regrets. And I, you know, my dad and I had a really pretty spectacular relationship, and I had no regrets and nothing left unsaid. I will say that, you know, on the night that he died, I listened to that StoryCorps interview with him that I had done with him a bunch of years before for the first time. And I'm an old dad. I have young kids. And, you know, hearing his voice and knowing that this was the only way that my little ones were going to get to know this really monumental figure in my life, I thought I couldn't believe in StoryCorps any more than I did up to then. But at that moment, the rubber really hit the road. And it's just a reminder of the importance of having these conversations with people who matter to you.
Well, also a reminder that I feel like after people pass away, the audio in some ways is more powerful than the photos that you have of them listening to their voices as they talk about things like
this.
Yeah,
I've always felt that the soul is kind of contained in the human voice.
Yeah.
It is a really powerful way to, you know, and the nature of a StoryCorps interview, these 40 minutes to sit with a loved one and the interviews go to the Library of Congress, it kind of forces the issue and you know, people think of it as if I had 40 minutes left to live. It gives you the freedom, as you know, with the microphone to talk about things you don't normally get to talk about.
Okay, well, let's listen back to a little bit from your radio documentary about Stonewall that aired on the 20th anniversary. This is from Remembering Stonewall.
My name is Robert Rivera, and my nickname is Birdie, and I've been cross-dressing all of my life. I remember the night of the riots. The police were escorting the Queens out of the bar and into the paddy wagon. And there was this one particularly outrageously beautiful queen, and she was asking them not to push her. And they continued to push her, and she turned around and she mashed the cop with her high heel. She knocked him down, and then she proceeded to frisk him for the keys to the handcuffs that were on her. She got them and she undid herself and passed them to another queen that was behind her.
How can I ever close.
Wow. What do you think when you hear that now?
Well, I mean, it's again what we were just talking about. It's the power of the human voice. You know, a lot of the people who were in that documentary have passed away, and I just feel fortunate to have had the chance to meet them, and that those voices exist and can speak to us. You know, whisper in our ears now. I should say that I was in Los Angeles last week, and YouTube did an adaptation of this documentary that's extraordinary. That they're releasing on the anniversary of Stonewall on Friday, where they have young actors and YouTube people lip syncing the voices of the people in this documentary, and they did an absolutely gorgeous job on it.
Well, and this brings us to what you're trying to do now, which is that you're asking people around the country, people that may be listening to this right now, to help preserve the stories of LGBTQ elders, because now we're at the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. People, as you say, some of them not living anymore, but how can people participate in this project called Stonewall Out Loud?
So exactly. What we're trying to do is make sure that the voices of people who were alive before Stonewall are preserved and that we can learn from them. I mean, it's a little bit in the spirit of what Steven Spielberg did with Shoah, recording the stories of Holocaust survivors before those stories were lost to history. And we are asking – we have a StoryCorps app that makes it possible to record people anytime, any place on your mobile device and with one tap upload it to the Library of Congress. We're asking people to pledge to record an elder in honor of Stonewall. This effort runs all the way through the end of the year, but this weekend is a good time to pledge. It's an act of public service, and especially in rural communities, people of color, trans elders, find someone who was alive before Stonewall and ask them what was it like, so that future generations can learn from their stories and voices, and so history won't repeat itself. There's that great Maya Angelou quote from the first Clinton inauguration: "History, despite its wrenching pain, can't be unlived, but if faced with courage, need not be lived again." And that's the spirit of what this effort is about. We have at storycorps.org/outloud. You can pledge there, and there's tons of information about how to record an interview. And I hope people will do this as an act of public service.
If people want some inspiration, of course, public radio listeners know StoryCorps very well on Morning Edition. But let's hear a little bit of some of the conversations that have been recorded by your team. First of all, this is Glenda Elliott, who grew up in Mayfield, Georgia during the 1940s. Long before the Stonewall riots launched the modern gay rights movement, she met the love of her life, a woman named Lori. And when Glenda sat down with her friend Angela Stowe, she told the story of her lifelong love that never had the chance to blossom.
She met a man who had asked her to marry him. Then she got pregnant, and she said, "If it's a little girl, I'm going to name her after you." There are certain kinds of love that never die, but I don't regret at all our time together. It is where I learned that I could love and I could be loved in that complete sense of the word.
So that's Glenda Elliott's story. We've got another example here. Growing up in the 1960s in a housing project on the south side of Chicago, Alexis Martinez knew that she had to hide from others that she is transgender. At StoryCorps, she told her daughter, Leslie, about growing up, parenthood, and now living as a woman.
When I came out to my mom that I was transgender, I think I was 13 or 14, and she called the police. And I always remember that when the police showed up, you know, they just laughed and told her, "You got a fag for a son, and there's nothing we can do about it." You know, so I went as macho as I could be, you know, to mask what I really was underneath. And by that time, I had become a member of a gang. Mm-hmm. People just didn't mess with me, you know, because they knew they had a fight on their hands. I mean, I really didn't believe that anybody could love somebody like me.
Now, Dave, those are two examples of StoryCorps conversations with members of the LGBTQ community. But what are some good questions that people can ask to try to bring out these emotional responses from people that they talk to?
Well, first of all, it's just about being present in these interviews and, you know, listening to someone and asking them questions about their lives tells them that they matter and they won't be forgotten and that you love them. So, you know, asking questions that aren't kind of CV questions, that aren't about dates and times and years, but kind of broader questions. Mm-hmm. I think for Stonewall Out Loud, questions like, when did you first come out and who did you first come out to? Who did you first fall in love with? Those sorts of questions. And it's really the questions you've always wanted to ask. And you'll find that, you know, even, you know, someone who says they don't have a story to tell, when you sit down and you turn on your cell phone and start talking, it'll be hard to get them to stop. The interviews are supposed to be 40 minutes. And people often, you know, feel like that's not enough time.
Mm-hmm. That is Dave Isay, who is the founder of StoryCorps, and he's asking for your help in recording the stories of LGBTQ elders as we approach the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots. Dave Isay, thanks so much for joining us.
Jeremy, thanks for having me on.
Too late now to forget your voice, the way one word makes my heart rejoice. Too late now.